Have they finished now? That did sound like a climax.
And he turned around and hit me, right? And I went flying back for all these fucking boxes and that.
Yeah, I said, will you? And he went, yes.
Touch the talent.
I used to have a lot of bumps on my head.
Right.
Hence the way I am now.
And Rob was like, well, you know, sugar and caffeine should be all right.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, Single Track Podcast listeners. Welcome to another episode. I'm Mark, and this week in the virtual studio, I'm joined by...
Me, Amanda.
And me, Chips.
That's the second take on that introduction. You would have thought that it would be really easy just to say your own name, wouldn't you? But for some reason, every week we seem to screw it up. Anyway.
But how often do you say your own name?
At the beginning of a podcast? To introduce yourself? Perhaps.
Practice.
Shall we crack on?
Let's.
Right, this week, first of all, coming later in this episode, we've got a new feature, and we've got episode one of that new feature, which we've called Desert Island Disc Breaks. Woo, yes, how original is that? And guess what we do with Desert Island Disc Breaks? We get a notable person from the bike industry, and we ask them a whole bunch of questions related to, well, yeah, we've completely ripped off the Radio 4 format there. This week, we'll be talking to Nick Craig, or actually, more accurately, Hannah will be talking to Nick Craig and asking him some very interesting and probing questions, which is quite apt, isn't it? Because it's Nick Craig's birthday today.
This week.
How old is he, Chips?
He is 54 this week.
I'm sure he'll be okay with us putting that into the podcast. Still ruling the veteran category in every race that he enters.
I had one chance where I could have, you know, taken the title before he kind of went up a gear to vets.
No,
because generally he just turns up and does the senior race, and then he turns up again and does the vet race, and then wins that too. So
yeah, it's sickening, isn't it? Just imagine if you turn up to, you're a vet and you turn up to a race, and Nick Craig pulls up behind you in the starting lineup. It must be so dispiriting.
Especially because he's so cheerful about it. Hi, sorry, I'm going to have to thrash you today. I'm really sorry. Nice bike.
Very, very annoying. Right, anyway, let's crack on. This week, there's a few things that we're going to talk about. I think we should start, Chips, with you, because this weekend, where were you? Tell us about where you were this weekend.
I was in Belgium this weekend, or Flanders, all over Flanders this weekend. I went over to Belgium. Ridley Bikes had a sort of get together where they were introducing their three gravel bikes, three different gravel bikes for, you know, there's an international scale of gravel from, you know, fine pea gravel up to railway ballast. And I think they all have grades and things. So they have three different gravel bikes from, I don't know, Knobbly Road up to Chunky Gravel. I don't think that's their official titles. And they also got together some of their trade partners and people who sponsor their pro road team, like DT Swiss and Vittoria. And part of the reason for the timing was because it was the Tour of Flanders this weekend. And we got to do the short version of the Tour of Flanders. You can do a sportive the day before the pros do it. And I think the pro race is probably 260K, something like that. And there are options to do the full version of the pro race or near enough. You do 240, I think. You don't do all the laps up all the cobbles, and then you can do 145, and we did 75, which was far more civilized, and it did chuck it down with rain for the entire day. So but it was fun, great experience. And then on Sunday we were fortunate enough to be in one of those annoying minibuses with the press badge stuck to the windscreen. So we did a lot of like moving road cones out the way and parking in people's gardens and rushing to get a shot at the top of the cobbles and then rushing back to the van and going off to our next location. So it was all good fun.
Excellent. And you were a official press, so that means you had a press pass, so that would have got you access everywhere, wouldn't it?
Like, well, VIP? You know, you're normally used to that kind of stuff, but this is like grown-up cycling, and there are several levels, several echelons of press. There's a press lanyard, and then there's a press lanyard with a little purple stripe on it that lets you go nearer, you know, touch the talent. At the end of the race, they have this sort of mixed zone where the pros do their interviews afterwards. And it's just like this little corridor with the sponsors' logos in the background and a sort of fence. And you just sort of wave your microphone from the other side of the fence and try and catch. It's like the Oscars red carpet. Oh, can I have a quick word, Matthew? No, okay, well, not fine. How about you? Who are you? So, You can do that, but I did discover we got to the top of one of the tough cobble climbs with plenty of time. We had half an hour spare before the pros turned up. We got the big lenses out, found a nice spot, and because we had our press lanyards on, the police let us sort of stand in front of the roped off area where the crowd was, and could hear the helicopter, and then heard eight motos turn up with not just the press pass, but the press netball vest, I guess. Is that what? That's a little Airtex photo goal attack vests. And they all hopped off their motos and then all stood in front of us on the grass verge. So we had to, we did a bit of jostling. And then I nearly fell off the bank and got run over by one of the team cars. But, you know, it would have been good. It would have been televised anyway.
So tell the Tour of Flanders, it's a cyclocross thing, or is it a roadie thing?
It's a road race with lots of cobbles. So there's a lot of reasonably chunky cobbles, generally on a climb, although terrifyingly in a few places on descents as well. And it's always the sort of start of April, and some years it kind of lashes it down with rain, and some years it's sunny, but it was bitterly cold, and it's where all the Belgian and Dutch hard men come out and prove that they're harder than we are.
The crowds that it attracts are quite phenomenal, aren't they?
The crowds are massive. I mean, as I said, there's a sportive the day before, and there are 16,000 people do that. So you imagine the crowds. Apparently, there wasn't a single hotel room in the whole of northern Belgium available. Because the race is so big, you can actually get to see the race nearly wherever you are in Belgium. The rest of the time, the world goes on, and you know, lorries deliver things, and people go out to the park and things. And then in between, there's this mad scrum of people who are following the race.
Did you get up all the climbs, despite there being that many people on the sportive?
Fortunately, yes, because we were only doing the 75k one. There weren't too many people, because you all kind of start off. The long one starts off at about 7 in the morning, and we start at about 9. But it means that the long version of the race hasn't got to all the climbs before we do. If you do the longer one, you get to the bottom of the Koppenberg, or however, and there's sort of cobble police there to set you off in waves, so that, because the biggest issue is people either just getting off and pushing up the middle of the track in front of you, or just falling off, and then it just causes a great big concertina. So I think as it gets more crowded, they stop the riders and set them off in waves so that you all have a fair chance.
Cool. So, right.
But yeah.
Amanda, you did your own version of Flanders, didn't you, this weekend?
Can I just point out, I like that we've just ignored Chips calling it grown-up cycle racing. You got away with that one.
Yes.
Let's move on.
Yeah. So you did your own tribute to Flanders, didn't you?
I did. There's the Ronde van Calderdale, or Cobbledale, which is... Chips, do you know how long it is? I should know, given I've just done it. I think it's about 100 kilometres and a few thousand metres of ascent if you do the whole thing. So there's 14 cobble climbs around Calderdale. And I'm pretty sure if you look at the numbers, most of them are harder than the ones in Flanders. And then in between, we don't have nice Belgian tarmac. We have just pothole alley. Oh, it's so bad at the moment. It's just, it's hard to drive round here at the minute. Never mind ride a bike on it.
Is the buttress one of the cobble climbs?
It's not. If it was, then I wouldn't have managed my no dab challenge.
Yes, the buttress, ladies and gentlemen, is a cobbled road in Hebden Bridge. And up until a few years ago, we kind of co-hosted the Up the Buttress event, which was basically started at the bottom of this. What would it be? About 400 yards long, I think it is. And it goes to about a 1 in 3 or something like that. And it's cobbled. And the challenge was to get as far as you can without dabbing.
And it's cobbled, so, and it's under trees as well. So it's the cobbles are always a bit green. Ron van Calderdale, fact-checking here, 122 kilometres. It has 14 cobbled climbs on it. 14 named climbs, rather. So you get to
And you didn't dab on any of them?
No. Which, wow. Previously, so it was dry. It was quite a good experience of realising what's hard about these classics like Flanders, that it's not just that it's a tough gradient and it's rough ground. It's technical, getting up cobbles, especially when they're wet. But so there's two that I've never got up before, and I got up them quite easily because I think my mind has changed recently. My idea of what's too hard has definitely
What's changed
adjusted.
Your mind, Amanda? What's happened?
I rode across Spain. I rode from one end of Spain to the other and I survived it. So now... Yeah, just my perception of discomfort and what's too much is for now. Hopefully I'll cling on to it.
What bike were you riding?
I've got a Planet X Tempest, which is, I mean, I call it my road bike. It is technically a gravel bike, but I don't actually ride it off-road. It's just fit for UK roads.
What were you riding in Flanders, Chips?
I was riding a Ridley Griffin, which was kindly lent to me for the day by Ridley, which was very nice.
What tyres did you have?
I had some Vittoria Corsa Pros, which all of the pros were racing on in the race. So I had no excuses, basically.
What about your tyres, Amanda?
I had Specialized Pathfinders, which are, they've got like a slick strip in the middle and then a bit of grip either side. I just need to tell you about one of the ones in the Ronde van Calderdale. It's called Old Lane. It's about 200 metres, but it peaks at 35.5%. And the overall average is 22%.
That's one in three.
I don't know what you mean with the one in three. I don't.
1 in 3 means for every 3 units along, so, you know, if you're 3 metres, let's be metric about it. So every 3 metres in distance, you rise 1 metre, 3 along, 1,
okay,
which is basically 33%. So if it was 35%, it was slightly steeper than 1 in 3.
Yeah.
So gross. So it's been a bit of a grit, gravelly weekend for you two. Do we have anything to say about mountain biking in this podcast?
Yes. I can defend my choices this weekend because I'm going to Innalethan for the bank holiday weekend, so I thought I'll do a bit of a fitness boost. I'll go out and do some pedalling so that I can feel a bit stronger noodling around on a mountain bike.
Well, we do have something. We do have a mountain biking topic to talk about. We've got two. First, and I'll talk about mine, then we'll come to yours, Chips, because it does involve personalities in the next issue of the magazine. At the start of these podcasts, we do try and talk about some of the news stories that have happened on the website this week in order to just try and get all of you listeners to go over and have a look at the website. But the story I've just literally, before we started recording this, that I put up on the website was about a pro who we've written about before, Lewis Buchanan, Scottish mountain bike pro, hit the headlines, so to speak, earlier this year when he announced he got a new sponsor, and his new sponsor was OnlyFans. Now, for those out there who are not familiar with OnlyFans, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot of you that aren't. OnlyFans is a content platform that where you can create content and then you can attract your fans to that content, and you can charge them to see that content. So it's like a creator's platform that allows creators to monetize their own content and grow their fan base. Now, just like any new technology or any new platform that comes along and has done throughout history, including things like video.
Printing,
yes. Blu-ray has links. Basically, what we're talking about is OnlyFans is used predominantly by adult porn stars to get money out of their fans and to create content in a sort of a slightly more private and controlled way. So anyway, OnlyFans is synonymous with porn, although the platform itself is designed for any content creators to be able to basically create an income out of their fan base. But regardless of how it started, it's become synonymous with porn. And I think the content platform itself is trying to change that recently. And over the last 6 months or so, they've taken on board a whole bunch of sponsorship packages with athletes and sports people from around the world, from wrestlers to rally drivers and mountain bikers. And in this case, Lewis Buchanan, who announced that he was now sponsored by OnlyFans earlier this year. Well, today we found out, actually just over the weekend, through Lewis Buchanan's YouTube channel, he's announced that he's actually been told by the UCI that he's banned from all UCI races because of his association with OnlyFans. And apparently there's some terms and conditions in the UCI athletes terms and conditions contract book or whatever that says that they will ban you if you have an association with certain things. And one of those things is pornography. So he's a little bit upset about that. So we just broke that news story today. So you should head over to our website and check that out. You can express your own opinions on whether the UCI is doing something good there or whether they're taking things a little too far. But that's my news of the week. But we have actually this week, we've got a magazine coming out. Chips, another mountain bike personality that you've recently interviewed, is going to be in this issue. Who's that?
He's in the next issue, actually.
Oh, he's not in this, not this week. I made a mistake again. I cocked up a lot of last week's episode too.
But talking of UCI bans, I don't think he's actually had one, but I'd be surprised if he'd be able to get away with his behaviour these days. That, of course, is the great Rob Warner, Mountain Bike Hall of Fame nominee this year, and deservedly so, I think. First Brit to win a Downhill World Cup, and arguably one of the most, there's a lot of geese going on.
Yeah, can we just stop
really
here
sorry.
A minute? If you're wondering about what's in the background, I would have probably edited that out, but I'm going to leave it in just so we can talk about it. What the hell is going on at your end, Amanda? The geese are mating. It's, right, shall we just be quiet just for a minute?
No, you've got to subscribe to their OnlyFans if you want.
there's just a theme running through this week. Anyway, I got a chance to sit down with Rob Warner for a few hours recently and talk to him about everything from his sort of start in the sport to what he's doing now. For many people, he is the voice of downhill racing and UCI World Cup racing, cross country as well. You only have to say, "Look at the time," or the Danny Art, to know that you've heard Rob Warner. He's very unmistakable. But the story is actually fascinating. And I've known Rob for getting on for 30 years now, which dates both of us. And during that time, I've been in positions where I think I've had to manage him physically sometimes as part of my work. And I've also met him at World Cups in the glory years of the 90s. When basically Rob and Steve Peat were a sort of double act.
Have they finished now? That did sound like a climax.
Has it flown off?
Anyway, you were telling us about Rob and his proclivity to party.
Yeah, have a good time. Rob and Steve Pete were the James Hunts of the early days of mountain biking, and it kind of was when you could turn up with a bunch of natural talent and ride your bike fast and fearlessly and probably get a top 10 if you had a good day. Rob famously won a World Cup, and it was pouring with rain that day, which obviously helps his skills because he honed his craft with years of motorbike trials, and so he was ideally suited for that course. He was also in the pub the night before. His breakfast that morning was a Mars bar and a can of Coke, much to the horror of professional coach Dave Smith, who was, I think, in the chairlift with him up to the top of the race. And Rob was like, well, you know, sugar and caffeine should be all right. And he went on to win. And he then, for the first time in his life, actually rode a bike through the winter, the following winter, just to prove it wasn't a fluke, and had a success the year after. Although, well, you'll just have to find out.
Don't give it all away.
I won't.
What we really want to know is how many times did he swear in the interview with you?
Well, in the course of an hour, and because I've had to transcribe the entire interview just to be able to edit it down to a sensible length, it ran to over 8,000 words. But Rob did swear 146 times in an hour, which, you know, probably isn't. It isn't, you know, it's not like 10 times a minute.
Shall we have a short taster clip?
I think we should, especially because this this story, which I asked them about, won't be in the interview because we literally don't have time for to put all the stuff in. But I did ask him two questions at the start about his Wikipedia entry. There's one that says he's the only person to have won a World Cup with a sexually transmitted disease.
And that's on his Wikipedia.
Well, he happily admits to it. So he's the only one who's admitted to winning a World Cup with an STI. So that's kind of on Wikipedia uncontested. And yet there's this the second fact, which says Wikipedia says, you know, needs clarification. And that's that he used to put the wiring harnesses into Rover 800 cars at the Cowley plant, which he did, and it wasn't without its own little bit of drama when relating to Kate Bush.
Shall we hear a little bit of that now?
I think we should.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
When I got kicked out of school... No, I didn't get kicked out of school. I made school, but then I got kicked out of Emily College straight away afterwards in the first 3 months of going there. Dad got me a job at Rover, where he worked, in Cowley, which is 20 minutes from here. And until I paid off a loan on a motorcycle trials bike I'd bought, which took about a year, because Dad was like, right, you're doing badly at school. I'm not buying you any more bikes. You need to buy your own bike. Right, I can get you a job at Rover. And I did put wiring and harnesses in Rover 800s from 7:15 in the morning till 4:15 p.m. in the afternoon. Every 2:30 minutes, I did exactly the same process. Yeah.
There you go. Obviously,
yeah,
set you
fact.
Up well for
it's
life.
A fact.
Okay, we'll get you.
It also states
page.
I'm the only man to win a World Cup with an STD, which I much prefer. I mean, I doubt I am, but the only one who's admitted it, which is far more important. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know, we'll
that's thrown in. I thought that's where you were heading with it. I was disappointed when it came around.
Well, no, I saw that and I thought...
No, are you joking?
That's unconfirmed, and yet the other things on it.
Rover, I did work at Rover. And then, yeah, one day a bloke pushed me. Honestly, he fucking hit me. He hit me. It was so rough in there, this on the production line as a 17-year-old kid. And one day he had Kate Bush playing, the bloke on my workstation, and I said, "She's f***ing shit, mate, turn that down." And he turned around and hit me, right? And I went flying back for all these f***ing boxes and that, and I was like, "F*** this," and I f***ing literally walked off the job and went and found Dad, who worked over another part of the factory. And by the time I got back, the cars I hadn't put the wiring harness had got to a certain point, and they had to stop production line for something like, I remember the quote, it was like 32 minutes at £100,000 a minute. Yeah, something like that it was, yeah. I'm more of a commentator than I'm a mountain bike rider. I'm a much more successful commentator than I am a mountain bike rider.
Yeah, I think Steve Baer was saying if you'd put as much effort into...
Yeah, I'd have been fucking...
Into your
I'd
bike
have been
riding.
Pretty good, mate, yeah. But it didn't work for me, and using my head, which didn't work for me at school or college or uni or anything... Not uni, I didn't get that far, did I? College or anything, didn't work ever. I could never apply myself. For some reason, with a commentary, it all clicked.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's f***ing mad, isn't it? I don't really know why either. I just fell into something that I really like doing.
Yeah.
Because
which really
And
helps,
one of the big attractions of it is that it's so f***ing easy. Like, it's words coming out of your mouth. It's no harder than that, yet it's so f***ing hard to get right. It's like, it's a massive puzzle, but doesn't require any physical effort whatsoever. That's what I think I like about it. The whole thing blew up, and it was good for mountain biking because it went massive.
Yeah,
was that line I timed to perfection just after he'd crossed the line. I was like, and he was like looking back at this leaderboard, and he, you know, 12 seconds ahead, and I just said, "How does Danny Hart sit down with balls that big?" Yeah, well, Lance fucking Armstrong put on Twitter, "Have you heard this guy?" And it was me, my commentary. Yeah, fucking amazing. That's all time, isn't it?
Okay, there we go. So that's coming up in a future issue of Single Track, so I'm looking forward to that. What else have we got this week? I think that's pretty much it. Shall we has either of you two got anything planned for the rest of this week? What are you doing this weekend? It's the bank holiday weekend. What are you up to, Amanda?
I am going to Innerleithen and riding mountain bikes.
What are you up to, Chips?
I haven't a clue, to be honest. I haven't had a chance to think about it. And the fact that it was a bank holiday sort of snuck up on me as well. So I'm not sure. Apparently, I got a load of people coming to stay. So I will be doing some duvet ironing and... This is how rock and roll I am. But I will also be riding my bike.
Excellent. For those of you confused, Chips, now being resident in the French Pyrenees, actually has some accommodation that he rents out. You've got a couple of gîtes, haven't you?
I do, yes. And because it's sort of my thing to run, I get to do all of the bathroom cleaning and the duvet ironing. Yeah, run around.
Who irons the duvet?
Well,
apart from you,
insists on it.
Right, on that note, we're going to leave it there from the studio. We're going to head over to listen to Hannah have a chat with Nick Craig, where she asks questions in our new feature, which is called Desert Island Disc Breaks. So over to you, Hannah.
Hi, welcome to Desert Island Disc Breaks. It's the first one with Nick Craig as our guinea pig. Woohoo! Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks for doing it.
That's all right. I don't know what I'm doing yet.
Yeah, I said, "Will you?" And you went, "Yes."
So, I like you.
So basically, it's a shameless rip-off of Desert Island Discs. You're about to be washed up on an island where you'll spend the rest of your days alone, apart from the company of a single bike, a helmet, which will give you a toolkit and some trail building tools. So are you ready for that?
I'm ready.
Okay, so the first question is, when did you learn to ride and what was your first bike?
The one bike I really remember is the one that I first raced on, and I was nine, and it's a rally arena. So when did I learn to ride? I think I was quite early, probably 4 or 5.
Right.
Yes, I rode without a helmet. Yes, I wheeled it. Yes, I made myself a concussed. Usual things that kids with... I used to have a lot of bumps on my head.
Right.
Hence the way I am now.
Similar, right? And so you rode bikes all the way through childhood then and into adulthood? You didn't drop out in any teen years or anything like that?
No, I loved it. I think the first time I rode without stabilisers was the freedom. I suppose it's like having your first car to me.
Right.
And that was a lot later. So I felt free when I could ride away.
And you started racing, well, you were racing by 9.
Yeah.
And then you've raced all the way through as well. Then.
Yeah. I'm 54 next week, so there's a few years of racing. I think somebody asked me about cyclocross, and I actually haven't missed a season. I've done seasons where I've maybe only done 4 or 5 races, but that was due to health reasons. Yeah, is it an addiction or is it just
the
love?
Does the red mist come down, or is it about beating other people, or is it about beating yourself?
I'm competitive, and I get the most pleasure from beating somebody that's maybe fitter or stronger by tactical, technical, right, and experience. That's the most rewarding. So it's, I don't know really. It's not, I've said this before, but it's not, you know, it's not about winning. It's about competing and base my happiness on the performance. If I base my happiness on the performance, I wouldn't be very happy. Because right, there's a lot of times that I spent, you know, I could count how many times I didn't win races. So that wasn't the ultimate goal for me.
So you like the fight?
Yeah.
Rather than necessarily the crossing the line. Okay. So what was the first bike that you bought with your own money? You probably never bought one with your own money. You've always been sponsored.
Not quite. No, I think that's really difficult. I used to build track, as we call them. That was basically used to get frame, and it was, riser bars. It was around the rally grifter days when everybody wanted the chopper, but you couldn't afford it. The grifter came along in the 80s. I think it was late 70s, 80s. And we used to just basically make bikes out of bits.
Right.
And they weren't really branded. They were just frames from wherever you found them from.
Right.
I've been lucky enough to get, I'll call them tools, but bikes for a long part of my career. And even though that's the case now, I bought a bike a few weeks ago. I bought a frame and handlebars to do a build on a bike.
Right. Okay.
So, yeah.
And maybe you won't remember. What's your first off-road ride, or your first memorable off-road ride where you were like, this is it?
So it'd be on a cyclocross bike, and it would be, I was probably, after the racing, we'd do rides over Kinder Scout, over Jacob's Ladder, on cyclocross bikes in the winter in the snow, and they were the most fun because the drifts had filled in all the big gullies, and when I was a kid, we had a lot of hard cold winters, and I can remember when the snowdrifts froze and you could ride on the snowdrifts. Right. That was great fun.
Soft landings too.
Yeah.
Really good. So when was your first mountain bike then? As opposed to cyclocross bike?
November 1988.
Well, that's very definite.
Yeah.
And what was that then?
It wasn't mine. I was lent a bike to David Beck and Tim Gould had already transitioned across to mountain bike racing the year before. And it was suggested that we should try some mountain bikes out. And they were Muddy Fox somethings. And we rode around Kinder Reservoir and we took them. It snowed. It was horrible. And we basically took them back to the bike shop in Huddersfield, and a guy called Darren from Pedal Power lent us these bikes. We took the bikes back and said, it's not for us, that's great, thanks.
Oh.
And he then turned around and said, well, maybe try these bikes. So then we took some different bikes and I started racing in the summer of 89.
Okay. So what was the first mountain bike that you owned then, if that was, you had a ride on Roddy Fox and didn't think much of it?
We were then lent from the bike shop some specialised stunt jumper bikes to race that first year. They were full rigid, obviously. And what's incredible, and you know, this brings it up to the current day, is it was amazing. They were £1,000, those bikes.
Right.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been able to afford that at the time, but they were on loan from the bike shop.
You've been a very lucky boy.
Yeah.
Oh, but at some point you're bound to have been unlucky. So what was the first bike you had stolen?
I had the garage emptied.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, so not too bad. Really.
Okay.
Yeah.
There so you waited quite a long time to have your bike, first bike stolen then?
Yeah, it was a while. Yeah, it's quite a while. I never really left my bike anywhere. It was always attached to me. People say, oh, you own a lock, and I'm like, no, because I never leave it anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And no one's going to catch up with you. So.
No chance.
So this island that you're going to, you get to choose it.
Right.
And you get to be God. So what sort of rock and soil and vegetation and climate are you going to go for?
So this is really quite easy.
Okay.
I spend a lot of time in Mallorca. I've been to mainland Spain just recently. And Mallorca, if you were designing an island, it's already been done. It's been made for cycling. I'll probably adjust the trails a bit. The trails are really, most of my cycling is road cycling there. And when I look at the mountain bike trails, they're really rough. And people rip tyres and a lot of them, the walking trails. So I'd probably make those trails a bit less. I think there's some limestone there, which is really slippy. And where I live in the Peak District, we have Dark and White Peak. Mm-hmm. And there's a definite line where the walls go from granite to limestone. And at that point, I fall off. So I...
Doesn't everyone? I hate limestone. If anyone picks limestone, they're mad.
Yeah. I think, I'm going to guess there's granite and there might be limestone as well in Mallorca. So I'd just make the whole lot gritstone.
Right.
Grippy. A little bit less. If you could take the abrasion away from the sand, that'd be good. Take the really sharp edges off the rock where they shatter and rip your tyres. And make all the footpaths bike only.
Well, you're going to be there. You can ride wherever you want.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'd just basically take Mallorca and I'd probably lift it slightly up so it's not, what do you call it, when the water goes really salty from under the... Because a portion of the water's coming from the sea.
Right.
Salination?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that?
You're thinking very practically. We'll make sure you don't die out there.
Just lift it up a bit. I need a fresh water spring. I need the beaches and the climate of Mallorca. And what I really like about there is that you've got all seasons. So it's not, you know, you're going to get some cold.
Okay.
Recently I was out of snow. So 40 centimetres.
So you're going for all the weather then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mixture of weathers.
But no limestone.
250 odd days of sunlight. Yeah, probably go for 300. Just, you need about 50 just to remind yourself that it's okay not to be, sunny one day.
Right, okay. All right, well, on this island, this Mallorca without limestone, you're going to have a lot of time on your hands.
Yeah.
So what skill will you learn while you're there?
I used to make furniture. And I used to take trees that were made, basically would buy timber in planks that was rough saw with the bark on the edge. And I probably want to learn how to how to season it. If a tree fell, let's say a tree fell down or was storm damaged, I didn't just chop it down.
Okay.
And I was going to make some furniture out of it. I would want to be able to saw it through into planks.
Oh, yeah.
And then put it into stick, so let the air and let it season. Then I could make it into some furniture, and that would be a whole. To go from a fallen down tree to having a table, chairs, and some
utensils. You only need one chair, it's only going to be you. But it's like you can sit in different places.
Oh, am I really on my own?
I'm sorry. Yeah. You do get to have an annual visit from a mechanic who will come and do just one job for you.
Yeah.
So what job are you going to pass off to that annual visit?
Probably doing a front frame swap on an e-bike. Front triangle.
Oh, well, but that assumes that you've got an e-bike with you, because this is the question, you only get to take one bike to the island to ride forevermore. So what are you going to choose?
You know, I ride a Spark a lot, mm-hmm. and it's not only my race bike, my trail bike, and now it's an e-bike as well, and the Lumen with the TQ motor. I think that bike is probably the one I take, because I could ride it with or without power. And it'll do everything for me.
Well, and then what will your everything be? Because you get to choose. You can either have a trail team who will build everything for you before you get there. But once it's built, that's it. That's all you've got. Or you can build your own. So what are you going to go for, and what will you have there? What sort of trails?
If they build them, can I then tweak them?
No, you can make sure they don't have puddles, but that's it.
I think I better just take a spade and dig some trails. What would I dig? I'd leave some of those natural rocky trails, but I'd also then build in some flowy, we used to call it the new black is blue, 10, 12 years ago.
Okay.
But I've got to say, the stuff that everyone can ride, I know there's only me there, but totally rollable, flowy, perfect eye line where you just come down to the bottom, big smile on my face, because I need a smile on my face if I'm on my own.
Well, you get a book as well. So what book would you take?
I'm more of a, I read magazines. Read books, so I'll take a pile of single tracks. Will you put me on the mailing list?
We should give people that anyway, shouldn't we?
Would you put me on the mailing list? Would that be there?
Well, maybe that's like the Bible. You get a single track subscription anyway. Okay, and you get to take one album with you as well.
My music taste has been through my first record I bought was New Order, and it was Blue Monday, first 12-inch, and it's one of the copies that was printed with the A and B the wrong way.
Right.
And I've got I'm not going to say I'm really big into music. It's through Talking Heads, through all sorts of unusual music, even things like Norah Jones, like aliens to that kind of music. So if you go on, Spotify's been the best thing for me.
Okay.
So actually choosing albums now is really difficult, but a box set of Kings of Leon was something that I bought maybe 8 or 9 years ago. It's probably one of the best box sets of CDs I've ever bought.
Oh, that'll keep you busy. And then one luxury item. Okay, you can't use it to escape the island, so no canoes or anything like that, and you're not allowed to communicate with the world. So, a luxury item.
Paddleboard.
You might escape on that.
I will, promise.
Well, okay, since you are the nicest man in cycling, we'll let you have a paddleboard. We'll trust you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much for being our first desert island disc brakes guest.
Thanks. I think you might need to add it.
It's great.
Thank you.
I hate stuff like that. Leave that on there.
Thank you, Hannah. So she's got another one lined up for next week. So tune in next week for another episode of Desert Island Disc Breaks. That's all from us this week. So we're going to head off now. So all that remains to say is goodbye from me. And it's goodbye from my two co-hosts this week. Goodbye, Chips.
Goodbye, Mark. I'll catch you next week with a lot more mountain biking going on.
Yes, there'll be more mountain bikes next week. We promise. Isn't that right, Amanda?
Yes, I promise too.
Brilliant. Right. See you next week, everyone. Bye.
Cheers.
Bye.
Thank you. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another Single Track Podcast. I'm Mark, and this week in our virtual studio, I'm joined by... One of you go.
Hi, Chips I'm... and...
Oh, of course you would both go together at the same time.
Do you want to
go
try
in
again?
Alphabetical order, for God's sake.
Okay, that means well, Amanda. Mark, then Amanda, then me.
Right.
I'm just having to work that out.
Cut.
By right. Surname. Right.
Right. We'll do it again this time. Amanda, you go first, then Chips.
I'm going to go. And say my own name. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's preferable to say your own name, not somebody else.
Aye, state your name.
Today, Matthew, I'm going to be. So there we go. That was good fun. Next week, I'm not sure. Hannah's already got one in the bag for next week. Can you remember who she was talking to, Amanda? I can't remember. She's... But anyway, right, since that was going nowhere, I'm going to start that one again.
Oh, sorry, I was just looking at the Rob Warner thing where he talks about the XC riders. Go on, you f***ing losers, you f***ing like wearing wires.